Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
There's nothing better that I can do for Veterans Day than try to help a veteran whose dog was stolen by the U.S. military. Welcome to the Savage Nation. This is a huge story, and it's going to be a bigger story by the time we get through with it on the Savage Nation today. And it's about a stolen war dog. You want to hear the story? The other day I was reading the New York Post, and Maureen Callahan wrote an article entitled Soldier's Hero Dog Stolen by Military. It's not that long a story. You want to pay attention to it for 1 minute, please? Do you know how important a dog is to most people? Well, now magnify that by a factor of, what, 10 to a returning veteran who was injured in combat along with the dog, both of whom were injured when a roadside improvised explosive device planted by the Islamo-fascists detonated, injuring both the Czech-German shepherd named Matty and specialist Brent Grommet. Are you ready for this one? As they flew back to the United States, Mr. Grommet slept on top of Matty's crate in the airplane. They were locked together at the hips. They landed at an Air Force base in New Jersey, and the two were separated, which was standard operating procedure. Mr. Grommet wasn't worried, though, because according to Army regulations, if he wanted his dog Matty, he had the sole right to adopt his military war dog. This right is known as Robbie's Law and was signed by President Clinton in 2000. Well, Mr. Grommet had filled out the adoption paperwork in the Middle East, and he handed it over to a private firm that then contracted with the Army on canine issues entitled K2 Solutions. Well, they took his dog Matty away for an examination, and that was the last he ever saw the dog. He says a Lieutenant Colonel Richard Vargas absconded with the dog, and the military has done nothing to make it right. As you can hear, my dog Teddy is barking in the background. And I know what it's like to lose a dog. It is like someone stealing your kid right in front of your eyes, according to Mr. Grommet. Mr. Grommet is 23 years old. He came back from Afghanistan fighting for us with traumatic brain injury, hearing loss, spinal cord injury. He's in daily pain, many surgeries. And his dog, Matty, calmed his mood swings. His father, Don, will join us on the show in a few, well, about the bottom of the hour, because they've been fighting to try to get the dog back for a long time now, and no one will answer him. His father, Don, who's a paramedic, called every military base in the United States that handles military working dogs. Nobody would answer him. Finally, he reached someone at Fort Bragg. He was given a runaround until he got an anonymous tip from a civilian employee on base who whispered and said, "I have no control over this. You need to talk to Richard Vargas." And she hung up. Mr. Vargas, the lieutenant colonel, was in charge of military dog adoptions. Well, Don, his father, got Vargas on the phone. And here's what Vargas said to the father. He said, "I adopted the dog out legally, so there's nothing you could do about it." And then he hung up on him. My friends, today we're going to devote an hour of this show to you, to the soldier's hero dog stolen by the military. Are you listening to me? My dog is excited by the story, but in a moment he'll stop barking and you'll start calling. Because we're going to have with us Maureen Callahan of the New York Post in a few moments to give us a few more details on this stolen dog. In fact, Maureen is with us right now. Miss Callahan, thank you so much for this story. This is so appropriate for Veterans Day. Is there any update for my audience?
Oh, first of all, thank you so much for having me on. I couldn't agree with you more. We have no updates yet as to where Matty might be, why he's missing, who's got him. Why?
Mr. Grommet's father will be on the show at the bottom of the hour. The man has been trying his best to help his son get the dog back, but everyone's giving him a runaround. Do you think this dog was just sold for profit? What's your gut feeling, Maureen?
My gut feeling is that the dog has not been sold for profit. It seems that, so this is how far the inquiry went up, thanks to Don Grommet's doggedness. It went up to General John Campbell, who is now the commander of forces in Afghanistan. And he investigated on behalf of the Grommets. Mm-hmm. told them that the dog was still in the Fort Bragg, Fayetteville area, but he either could or would tell them no more than that.
So the dog is in the Fort Bragg area. What does that mean? He gave it to someone else? Vargas gave it away?
The grommets believe that Vargas either kept the dog for himself or adopted the dog out to a family member or a close friend, because there's no other explanation in their minds as to the secrecy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Now, is it true that the soldier, Brent, has been threatened? Who threatened him?
Brent, both grommets were talking to me as late as Friday. I was filing the piece on Friday, and Brent then told me that he had been pulled aside by two majors who knew my name, knew he had already spoken to me. How they knew that, I have no idea. Told him to stop talking to me, and that if he continued, he would be looking at Fort Leavenworth.
What? They're threatening to put an injured war veteran in Leavenworth for wanting to get his dog back?
You know, it sounds absurd, but yes, that's what Brent.
Oh, this is bad. This is bad. Maureen, here's what I'm doing. I've alerted my attorney at the Savage Legal Fund. We're going to use whatever funds we have and needed to get this dog back. We're going to find out who stole the dog, and if they broke the law, we're going to have them punished to the full extent of the law. This is an outrage. You have to agree with me. I mean, you must be a dog lover to have written this article. Is that true?
I am a dog lover. My father is a veteran. Both Brent and Maddie and their plights are extremely close to my heart. So, and I have to tell you, Michael, that this story has generated incredible reader response, more than I've seen in quite some time, with everyone asking what they can do to help. And I've forwarded to your producer the centralized people that your listeners can lobby.
Yeah, I have that list going up on michaelsavage.com. It strangely includes John McCain. He'll be the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee. Maybe he'll do the right thing this time for us, and he can look into this. John's a powerful man. The Army Chief of Staff, General Ray Odierno, has a Facebook account. We have a tweet account. You've given all of us that. We're going to put it up on michaelsavage.com. We're just starting now. We are going to get this dog back. Here's what really troubles me, and this is what worries me, and maybe you can help me with this. Do you think raising this issue is liable to put the dog in danger?
I think if anything happens to this dog and this dog can't be retrieved, I think it will be an even larger story.
Do you think that they could kill this dog, bury it, and make believe they don't know what happened? That's what I'm worried about.
You know, honestly, my mind hasn't gone there. I think whoever has this dog knows that it's wrong.
Wait a minute. Let's back up for the listeners, Maureen. They may not know what we're talking about. Guy comes back from Afghanistan injured. His dog was injured with him in an IED attack. The guy sleeps on the crate with the dog on an airplane. That's how much he loved him. They separate him from his dog on arrival. He's not worried. He signed the papers. According to law signed by Bill Clinton in 2000, Robbie's Law, he's allowed to have his army dog afterwards. But they never gave him back. And there's a villain involved here, in my estimation. And the villain is a lieutenant colonel who won't return the dog. It's as simple as that.
That's correct. And for months, Brent was given the runaround by the military. He was assured repeatedly that they had his dog, that they had his adoption papers, that he could come pick Maddie up in February. They call in February to pick up the dog. They hear nothing back. In March, they get a call. An anonymous tip from a civilian on base who says, "I can only tell you that you need to call Lieutenant Colonel Richard Vargas." She actually did not use his military rank in that phone call, and I've since heard that he's now a civilian, and he is working at the Pentagon.
Amazing, in the Pentagon, doing God's work in the Pentagon, I would imagine. The father and I communicated last night. He's a paramedic who works all day. He's going to be on this show at the bottom of the hour. I hope you can listen on WABC New York. He said to me that they offered $10,000 for the dog and a new puppy that they would train for free. Did you hear about that?
I did hear about that, and that offer was also met with complete silence. You know, I mean.
All right, so Maureen, here's what bothers me. Whoever took the dog has now been offered $10,000, a puppy with full training. So, is this dog worth more than $10,000?
You know, clearly this dog is priceless to Brent. You know, they went.
Yes, of course. I'm saying that, but dollars and cents wise, the dog isn't worth more than $10,000.
The dog can't be used in any sort of military or law enforcement capacity. He's injured. He's just like a soldier who's injured, you know. Mm. And I don't quite know. You know, I asked the grommets this because I said, what is it about Maddie? Why would someone arbitrarily pick this animal? What are his special?
Yes. You know, what's the answer?
They said we have no idea why they picked Maddie. None. So
well, here's what worries me. I have a much darker view of human nature than you do. You sound like a young, nice person. I'm not a young, nice person. I have a very dark sense of humanity. I have a terrible fear that they've already done something to this dog, which is why they wouldn't take $10,000 and a puppy in exchange for him. I'm terrified that this dog is gone.
Well, listen, I think the best way to find out the answer, however pleasant or unpleasant it may be, would be for the public to keep applying pressure to those individuals who have the means to flush out Richard Vargas at the Pentagon and find out what happened to this dog. And God,
absolutely. And you're going to keep the pressure up. I'm going to keep the pressure up. The people are probably going to, you know, jump on this case now because of you. The show is going to push it farther. Other hosts, I hope, will pick up on it and run with it. Is this a case? I know this sounds crazy. It's a military case. Could the FBI assign an individual to investigate this?
You know, I don't know how that sort of works, who has jurisdiction over what, but, you know, anybody who has been in the military, come up against the military, knows that the military sort of has its own legislation, its own rules, it's a body unto itself, it does what it wants, and you come up...
Okay, but there's a Naval Intelligence Service, there are investigative services within the military that could do this for the soldier and for the sake of the American people on Veterans Day especially. You know and I know that they have read your article, right? I mean, have you been contacted by the Defense Department?
No. Which I find very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's nothing to object to in that article.
Well, right now we've provided links on michaelsavage.com to those in the government that listeners can contact. All they've got to do is go on my website and click on the Help Find Maddie, and we've got it. There it is. There's a picture of the soldier on a helicopter with the dog when he was still healthy. And if you click on Help Find Maddie, I don't make a dime off this. I'm not looking to make any money. We've got General Ray Odierno's Facebook page. We've got his tweet page. We've got McCain's phone number. We've got McCain's email. We've got all sorts of things that people can do just by clicking some mice at home to try to get Maddie back for specialist Brent Grommet. And I want to thank you, Maureen, for doing this story. I'm a dog lover, number one. But who doesn't love our troops? And who doesn't want to help a heartbreaking story like this be less heartbreaking? I mean, that's what it comes down to.
I agree. And thank you, Michael, for everything you're doing to push this story forward, and to your listeners who I hope will jump on the bandwagon and help.
I understand you're doing a follow-up story this Sunday. Is that true?
Hoping to do a follow-up story. I'm still working on it. You know, we'll see what develops. It's only Tuesday, so...
Well, I think that something's going to happen now that it's on a national show where there's an awful lot of listenership. Maureen Callahan of the New York Post, thank you so much on Veterans Day. When I come back, we're going to ask some questions that are very worrisome. And at the bottom of the hour, we're going to have Sergeant Grommet's father on, Don, who's been trying his darnest to get this dog back with no luck. He is a very busy man who works for a living. He's a paramedic, and he'll join us at the bottom of the hour on the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Today we're talking about all the lonely veterans out there, not about you and your crybaby self. Guys who had legs shot off, eyes blown out, fingers knocked off, seen their friends blown up in front of their eyes, or their dog blown up in front of their eyes, and now we have one of a dog being stolen from him, a war dog. And these are guys who fought with these dogs, lived with the dogs, slept with the dogs. The dog has become a part of them. Many of these people will tell you that the dog saved their lives. And now someone stole this dog. And it's just not right. It's that simple. This is just not right. Where is this dog? Why did they take it from him? Army regulations say he's allowed to adopt the dog. Bill Clinton, to his credit, signed that bill in the year 2000. He filled out the adoption papers. He comes back. They take the dog. They give it to some private company. that no longer exists, K2 Solutions. And then the dog disappears. Where is he? How can we help? Mark on WMAL in Washington, D.C., please tell us what you know.
You know, Michael, I've seen this kind of thing happen before. You know, there's one thing that, you know, a lot of people won't mention that happens in the military. And, you know, the poor kid's a specialist. He's an E4. And unfortunately, a lot of people, you know, in senior ranks or DA civilians have a very low opinion of junior enlisted soldiers.
Right. He's in other words, he's cannon fodder to them. He's nothing. He doesn't exist. I get it. He's like the average voter to the politician. But he now has a very powerful friend in Michael Savage. He has a powerful friend in the New York Post reporter. And I'm sure he's going to have a lot of powerful friends in the Defense Department. They're not going to let this disappear, are they?
I hope not. When they said they offered him a puppy, it reminded me of something that crossed my desk a few years ago, where virtually the exact same thing happened.
Now, wait, you're a retired Army major, so you've seen this on the inside. What do they do with these dogs?
Well, I'm not familiar with this particular company, but, you know, he probably gave it to his family. You know, I doubt the dog is dead. I doubt anything bad has happened to the dog. It sounds like a dirtbag lieutenant colonel that took the kid's dog and thought he could get away with it. And then I was...
He figures the kid has no money, comes from a poor family. He's not from New York. His father isn't a lawyer in a Manhattan firm. So he could do what he wants to him, right?
Yeah, I mean, the attitude would be, oh, he's just a specialist. We'll figure out how to make this work. You know, somebody's...
So what? They just simply wanted the dog in their house? You think they ripped him off?
Sure thing. It's a military working dog, which to go out and buy that thing would cost you $20,000. That well.
Now the father's going to be on in a few minutes after the break, Major, and he says they raised money from neighbors. They were going to give $10,000 to the I think they offered it to Vargas, and he wouldn't take it.
He shouldn't take it. That's not the dog. That dog that served with him, it's his right by law to have that dog.
Well, we're going to do everything we can to get Maddie back, and I'm not letting this go. We're going to keep this one. We're going to rattle the cages. It's the Savage Nation. Will you help us get this dog back to the veteran?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation on Veterans Day. And what better way to celebrate Veterans Day than trying to help a veteran whose dog was stolen from him upon his return from Afghanistan? We're not talking about an ordinary dog. We are talking about a war dog who served with him in combat, both of whom were injured by an IED courtesy of the Islamo-fascist bastards that they were fighting over there. Well, the guy came back. The dog was supposed to be his. He's filled out the papers before leaving Kuwait. And then he disappeared. And now we have Don Gromadon, who's the dad. Don, welcome, and thanks for taking time out of your day on the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Michael.
Don, let me ask you a few questions. We've got a lot of people who are very agitated by this story, and rightly so. You say that the dog was adopted out by a Colonel Vargas, and General Campbell inquired and said that Maddie had been adopted to someone close to the TEDD program. What is TEDD?
The TEDD program is the Tactical Explosive Detection Dog program.
Okay, so this dog was trained to sniff out explosives, is that correct?
Right, IEDs and any other types of weaponry, like, you know, shells, hidden caches of guns, and you know, anything that would have explosive powder trace.
You say in your email to me, this means a friend or relative of OPMG did this. What is OPMG?
OPMG is the official military person in charge.
Official person military of this. And who is that, Lieutenant Colonel Vargas?
Right, Lieutenant Colonel Vargas And at the time, we didn't even know he was Lieutenant Colonel. When I was told to call, I was told to call Mr. Vargas. And, you know, when I got the call, my son was just recovering from surgery. He was less than 12 hours out of spinal surgery, where they removed three of the spinous processes in his lower back and some bone fragments and some discs that were bulged and herniated from the explosion. Jeez. And I got a call from a captain at the veterinary services at Fort Bragg and told us that she had no control over this. The dog was adopted out by OPMG, and she could not help me at all and gave me his phone number, which I called, and, you know, I just referred to him as Mr. Vargas. He never corrected me. He never once let me believe that he was a lieutenant colonel. I did not find out he was a lieutenant colonel until Dr. Robin Gansert of the American Humane Association tried offering money, and she did a lot of publicity there in the D.C. area. And she is the one, in fact, that found out that Mr. Vargas was actually a lieutenant colonel.
Now, wait a minute. You said in your email that he was offered $10,000 and a puppy with full training, and he wouldn't take it?
Right. He was offered. There's a kennel down in the Fayetteville area. The lady's name is Patty, and she contacted my son, and she said, you know, put this offer out there. She put it out on Facebook and on the other social medias that whoever had Maddie would return Maddie. She would give them the pick of a litter plus training for that puppy when the puppy was old enough to be trained. And we got no response.
$10,000. So how much is Maddie worth then if they rejected $10,000? Is he worth more than $10,000?
If Maddie was healthy, yes, Maddie would be worth more than $10,000. But Maddie's not healthy. He is chronically lame in one of his rear legs.
Again, from the explosion that hurt your son. So why do you think they're not willing to take the $10,000 and return the dog? What the heck is going on, Don?
I have no idea. I can only speculate that, you know, there was something that was done in the adoption of Maddie that is being covered up, and if they would have taken the money, we would have known that either it is a very close friend or a relative or even Mr. Vargas himself.
Now, who is this company, K2 Solutions? Are they still in business?
They're still in business down in Fayetteville. They're they used to be the military contractor for the program.
Oh, boy. Well, what if I've already told my lawyer to use resources within my own fund to start looking into this. I think we're going to start with K2 Solutions. We're going to send them a letter. Do you have it? If you got any contacts, you'll give them to us. We're going to contact the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Dempsey, who seems to be a guy who might do this for us. And I pray to God that this dog is still alive. That's what scares me, Don. You don't think this dog has been disappeared, do you?
I really hope not. But, you know, then again, if we are trying to cover something up and we don't want anyone to find out, then that could be in the realm of possibility. But I really would like to believe that whoever has Maddie would not do that.
He was offered $10,000, a puppy of their choice, training when the puppy was old enough, and they turned it down. They were also offered an all-pay trip for three people and free shipping for Maddie to the Hero Dog Awards banquet where they would look like heroes handing Maddie back, and they still wouldn't do it?
That's correct.
How long have you been after getting the dog back? How many months or years?
When my son got home from Afghanistan, he flew into Nashville's airport. We picked him up there. And, you know, he told me the story about, you know, when they pulled out when the K2 people pulled out of New Jersey with the dog in a metal kennel truck, and the dog was trying to chew his way and dig his way out of the kennel truck. And the whole time, he's screaming as Brent is getting further away from him.
Oh, my God. This gets worse by the second. I got such chills and anger in my being right now. Who would do this to your son?
And they told my son, look, you got 10 minutes to say your goodbyes to your dog, and then we're taking him.
This is awful. It gets worse by the second. And Don, but how long has this been going on? How many months have you been trying to get Maddie back? You, I mean.
When my son, when I found Maddie at Fort Bragg in November of 2013, we filled out new adoption papers. I called every week, once a week, to check on Maddie's condition and how the adoption process was
going. So this has been going on almost a year, in other words. You've been killing yourself for a year for your son to get the dog back, right?
Right. Almost a year.
How is your son, Brent, handling the kidnapping of his dog? That's what this is. Somebody kidnapped his dog who fought with him in Afghanistan, was injured with him in Afghanistan. Your son flew back in the airplane on his crate. Is that true?
That's true. My son slept on the dog's crate as they were flying back in the C-130 back to the United States. Maddie and him had such a close bond. Maddie taught that dog how to crawl to stay out of the line of sight of bullets. And so the dog, you know, Brent taught him to crawl. Brent taught him all the hand signals. My son did not have to talk to the dog. It was all done with hand signals. And the signals that he did have to use verbal for was all in foreign language.
Don, I know that you're a paramedic. Is that correct? I mean, you're not a man of great wealth. That's you work for a living in plain English.
I work for a poor rural Missouri ambulance district, and I've spent 35 years of my life helping other people.
Yeah, and that's why we're going to help you, Don. I promise you, as I'm standing here, we're not letting this one go. We're going to get that dog back. We're going to find out who stole the dog. And here's what I want to say, because the dog's health is the most important thing right now. We don't care who took the dog. We don't care why they took the dog. All we want is that person to contact Don and get the dog back. We'll drop the case at that point. If, on the other hand, that dog is not returned, I will spend any amount of money necessary to find out who the villains are, and we will prosecute them to the full extent of the law. I will not let this go if they don't return that dog. I am adamant about I will not let this go until that dog is back in your son's hands. I will not, and I want to repeat again, whoever's listening to this show who knows where that dog is, all you got to do is contact Don, get the dog back, and that's the end of the story. It's dropped. If you persist in being the AHs that you are, if you want to play villain, we will find you. We'll chase you to the end of the earth. We'll use military intelligence. If we have to, we'll get John McCain on you. We'll get General Dempsey on you. You will not rest if you don't give that dog back. Don, I hear that you've got a call. I think you've got a case right now.
I hope so. I really hope so. I hope that someone... No, that's another department that's getting dispatched out. That's not my
okay.
department. So I'm good yet. No, I really hope that the person finally, grows a heart and decides that this ain't worth all of what we're going through and gives the dog back. And that offer from the American Humane Society for a $5,000 reward, and I would imagine the offer from the National Veterans Association, VFW, would also follow through.
But Don, all of these people are involved, and this villain won't return the dog? All these people have been looking for it, and they still won't yield?
Yeah, and my friend Robin Ganser of the American Humane Association, she has offered these people a military working dog of their choice from the 19 that she has just brought back from Kuwait.
And they still won't take it. There's something wrong with the picture, Don.
I know.
Something doesn't add up, Don. I'm a person with a very dim view of humanity. You know, there's a picture of your son, God bless him, on my website now, next to his helicopter with his crew. Is that your son on the front right with Maddie, B? Big fella?
Looking at the it's the big dark colored German Shepherd with
Oh, that's your son in the bottom left there, sitting next to the munitions. And there's four dogs on the helicopter, and there's what, four? There's a crew of six men. It looks like five men and a woman on that helicopter, four beautiful shepherds. And what actually happened? How did they get injured? What were they, on the road? They weren't in the helicopter when they were hit. What happened?
They were on a helicopter. They were actually caught up in two MRAP explosions on an IED. What they do is they're given a mission program, and they drive their vehicles within the area that the intelligence has IEDs posted on the road. They get out of their vehicles, and then my son clears the roadway with his dog.
Well, look, we're going to do, Don, I don't want to take up any more of your time, and I know that this is very important to you and your son. Your son couldn't be with us because he's been threatened in plain English.
What did they do?
Threaten to take away his little pension if he wanted his dog back? Is that how nice the Army's treating an injured war veteran on Veterans Day?
They didn't use the word threaten. They used the word they were counseling my son on what he could and could not say according to the military code of justice.
They're full of crap. They're a bunch of crooks, and they're going to pay for this. They threaten your son with putting him in Fort Leavenworth for wanting his dog back when he's entitled to that dog. Somebody is going to pay for this. I'm not the only one on this right now, Don. There are probably, I would say, several thousand people amongst my millions of listeners who are so outraged right now that they're going to do on their own. It's out of my hands right now, Don. It is totally out of your hands right now. We're going to get that dog back or find out who took him and what they did with him.
Yeah, basically they coached him on what he could say to...
Yeah, well, they didn't coach you on what you could say, did they? And thanks for being with us. We're talking about the soldier's hero dog stolen by the military. Don, thanks for being with us. Keep us updated on the Savage Nation. It's 48 minutes after the hour. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. This is not a Democrat. This is not a Republican story. This is not about Obama. This is about what's right and what's wrong. And a soldier's hero dog that has gone missing is a story that will touch the hearts of anyone who hears it. And I'm appealing to those of you who listen to this show who are in the military, whether you voted for Obama, work for Obama, doesn't matter to me. This could be a great thing for the president to step in here himself, by the way, and get Maddie back for a specialist grommet. That's all we're asking. Something is wrong with this picture. And I believe that I should tell you what just happened. During the break, really heavy-duty top brass were calling my producer, Neil, saying we're not going on the air, but we know people way up on the food chain, and we are way above Lieutenant Colonel Vargas. We're a much higher level. We're going to find out where that dog is. So already the New York Post article and the Savage Nation may have helped. I hope to God that dog is alive. I have a very bad gut feeling about this, by the way. I have really bad feelings. Now, if you want to make a contribution, I have a legal fund. I have a better way. Every copy of my book, Stop the Coming Civil War, that is sold this week, I will donate $1 of that sale. I promise you, directly into this particular fund for this particular case. I don't need a new car. Did you hear what I said? Just buy the book. I'll take a buck for each book. Throw it into the legal fund.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
And I have some questions for those of you who've been listening for the last hour. We're going to move on after this story. We've covered the soldier's hero dog stolen by the military. There are a lot of wheels that have been turned as a result of that hour, and I want to thank Maureen Callahan of the New York Post for breaking the story, writing the story, and being with us in the first hour. I think I'm going to play that interview again sometime this week. But we've got to get Maddie back to Specialist Brent Grommet. We've got to find out who stole him and why. But there's some questions that bother me. Where is the dog now? If they've been offered $10,000, a new puppy, training for free, and they won't return it, something worries me. And what worries me is, and I'm not putting this out there because I want to scare you, I don't know if, what if they took that injured dog and put him into a dog fight ring and he's dead for $500? How do we know how low people can be? Do you know what people do to people in this world for nothing, for fun, for sport? Do you know how... You know, I don't want to get into this. I just don't want to get into it. I'm going down the wrong road. Because once I go down the dark road, it takes me a long time to come back from it. I have dark chambers in my mind that I can enter, that are hard to retreat from, and I'm not in the mood to do some cave dwelling right now. But something's wrong with this picture. That dog, if it was alive, would have been returned for $10,000. And whoever did this is potentially going to be court-martialed for misconduct. We have tried to contact the K2 Solutions company. They're closed for Veterans Day. We are trying to contact all of those individuals that I've listed on michaelsavage.com. You can do it yourself now. It's out of my hands. We have a list of them on my site. We have emails for General Odierno, Army Chief of Staff. Now, I realize at first this is nothing to him. This is just cannon fodder with a dog. They look down upon low-ranking members of the military the same way the politicians look down upon voters. You don't exist. You're of no value. If you don't live in New York or Los Angeles or Chicago and your father or mother is not connected to the political machine or you have no lawyer father, forget about it. You're worthless. You're cannon fodder. You're the type they would have sent into a cannon fusillade to be blown up into pieces and they would have gone on with their lunch. But you can post Army Chief of Staff General Ray Odierno at www.facebook.com/Ray Odierno. Or you can call old John McCain. Old John wants to run for the presidency again. God help us if he does that. That's the end of the Republican Party and probably the end of the world. But the lunatic can be reached. We have his phone number up on michaelsavage.com. Maybe he'll grandstand in the middle of drooling on himself. The phone number here is 855-407-282. In addition to this topic, in this hour, there's another story I want to talk about from the article from the site thefederalist.com, and it's about sex change regret, something you never hear about in San Francisco. There's a brainwashing that's gone on into the society right now, where you never hear from those who've had their penises removed, for example, to live as women, who have phantom penis syndrome and want their penis back. I know you think I'm joking, right? You're wrong. Anyone who dares step out of line and wants to detransition to once again identify with the sex in their DNA is targeted by trans activists. Did you know that? Do you understand how far this country has fallen? And I'm going to talk about it in 1 minute, about genital mutilation, which is what, by the way, what have I told you for years now on this show? There's no such thing as this problem. It's invented by the medical establishment and the psychiatric establishment. Alan Finch, a resident of Australia who decided when he was 19 to transition from male to female and was in his 20s, had genital surgery. But then at age 36, listen to what he told the Guardian newspaper. He said this. He said, transsexualism was invented by psychiatrists. You fundamentally can't change sex. The surgery doesn't alter you genetically. It's genital mutilation. My female organ was just a bag of my scrotum. It's like a pouch, like a kangaroo. What's scary is you still feel like you have a penis when you're sexually aroused. It's like phantom limb syndrome. It's all been a terrible misadventure. I've never been a woman, just Alan. He said, the analogy I use about giving surgery to someone desperate to change sex is it's a bit like offering liposuction to an anorexic. Finch went on to sue the Australian Gender Identity Clinic and Melbourne's Monash Medical Center for misdiagnosis. This is a very important story because all these sites of people who are saying that they were wrong, mistaken, brainwashed, are being taken down by those who are in the industry of sex change, the sex change industry. We'll talk about trouble in transtopia, murmurs of sex change regret. Transgender people who regret their sex changes typically get buried in venom rather than loved. It's a fascinating article by Stella Morabito on the Federalist that I'm going to talk about. And I'll open up the lines. I know it's a crazy topic, but we're living in a crazy society in crazy times, and you never, ever hear these other stories, never. These are two topics we'll be talking about this hour, plus we have great sound. And any breaking news, we're going to run for you on the Savage Nation. Let's take your calls on the missing military dog. Misty on KSFO, thanks for waiting here on the Savage Nation.
Oh, hi, Michael. What a heartbreaking show.
Well, I don't know. Should I not have done it on Veterans Day? I mean, I've helped veterans in the past. I've raised a lot of money for Marines who were falsely accused during Bush. I've helped that, you know, the soldier I helped who was locked up at Fort Leavenworth for 5 years. I got him out. I helped get him out. So this is near and dear to me. I mean, if we can't use radio to help our veterans on Veterans Day, we may as well not have radio anymore.
Well, Michael, well, you know, what's really weird is, this is going to sound kind of strange, but I've been seeing the numbers 11-11 on the clock for years now. And I was like, what is this with 11-11? So I don't know. Today, I felt like something profound was supposed to happen. I don't know, you know, it's a number of things. But I wanted to ask a question and thought you might want to look into this. I have heard in the past that it's an issue, like, you know, all the different animal abuse things that are going on. I heard that the war dogs, when they are done at war, that they're euthanized. And there was a whole campaign with many of them that were all being killed. And I'm wondering, what is the deal with that? Is that actually happening?
Well, it was happening, and then it stopped happening under Bill Clinton as a result of Robbie's Law signed by President Clinton in 2000. soldiers have the sole right to adopt their military working dogs. So they can adopt them. I mean, it's as simple as that. In this case, he filled out the papers, and then his dog was ripped off from him. It's that simple.
Well, because I have a bad feeling, too, but, you know.
All right, well, let's not speculate any further. We can all get upset. And I can't let myself melt down and get angry or upset any more than I am. You know, we're going to look into K2 Solutions tomorrow when they're back open. Eric on WJR, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Michael. We're talking about two veterans here. The dog's a veteran. The soldier's a veteran. They have to be together. And I'll put forth my effort to go get them.
Here's the thing you can do. Would you please email? Can you, you know, just go to the website, and I'm not looking to make anything on this. Just email McCain, call McCain, tweet General Ray Odierno, go to Facebook. There's lots of people you can do it through email today. And tweeting, you don't have to go anywhere right now, Eric. I know people are outraged. But after tomorrow, when my producer reaches K2 Solutions, I may have an updated request for my audience. Maybe we need them to go knock on someone's door.
I can throw McCain out of my wheelchair. I don't trust him.
Come on now. I bet you could. Well, let me help you on this Veterans Day and just send you a copy of Stop the Coming Civil War, my friend. Stay on the line. We'll get that out to you. This is an important story. We can move on. Are you glad I'm doing it or not? Do you want me to stop this? Or we'd rather talk about phantom penis syndrome and sex change surgery and what a racket it really is. You know, I mean, this is genital. How long have I said it's genital mutilation? For a long time. I said this transsexualism idea was invented by the psychiatric establishment, and that any surgeon who involves himself in this is performing basically mutilation. I've said that for years, and I was attacked for it. I think it's an important story, but I mean, how do you cover it on radio? What are you going to do with it? All right, what am I going to do with that? Unless you have a genital mutilation horror story. Let's say you are a person who transitioned from male to female, so to speak, and wish you didn't, and you're living in San Francisco and working for the government, and you're off today for Veterans Day, and you'd like to call the show and tell us what a horror you're living through. 855-400-7282. WABC in New York. Beth, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Michael. I'm so glad that you are doing this story. I read this story on Sunday, and I saw the picture of that German Shepherd and that young man. I grew up with German Shepherds. I had a very special one of my own, and it's just such a heartbreaking story, and I'm so glad, because I read it to my husband after I finished reading it, and then we were trying, what can we do? And I've left messages for Senator McCain. I've left messages for my two senators, and
Good. Well, if you go to my website, michaelsavage.com, you can email the Chief of Staff, Ray Odierno, directly. And that's what we've got to do. What if he got 1,000 or 10,000 emails about the dog? He'll look into it. He'll have a staffer look into it, Beth.
I hope so, Michael. This is just such a heartbreaking story.
When I saw that story on Sunday, I called my attorney in San Francisco, and I said, I want you to use your firm. He's a big law firm. I want you to use all the resources of the Savage Legal Fund. I want you to get involved in this. And he started the wheels turning. And I hope it ends tomorrow. I hope we hear tomorrow that dog is going back. It could happen, you know, like that.
Can we donate on that website?
No, I don't want any donations. It's too cumbersome. Of course you can. I don't want to raise money. I don't want people to think I'm doing this for private gain. I will donate money from my book sales, any additional sales this week. I've stopped the coming Civil War. I'll take $1 a book. Whatever it takes, it doesn't matter to me how much. At least $1 a book. It could be more. I'll put it into my own legal fund. I will pay my own lawyer. I am not needing to make money off this. I don't want to make 10 cents off it. It's that simple. Thank you for calling. I don't want to be misinterpreted here. I've always had a soft spot for cops who get in trouble. I've tried to help them. I have always taken the side of the military when they've been accused falsely, in my opinion, of committing crimes in a battlefield. How the hell can they judge these guys back in Washington when they're in a combat situation? How? You send a young kid into a combat zone where you're facing the scum of the earth who have no qualms whatsoever about cutting people's throats, mutilating women, killing their own people, and you're going to tell me that young man should be court-martialed for shooting first? You'd rather he come home in a body bag, wouldn't you? So he looks good on Al Jazeera, Al Gore's ex-network. Yeah, okay, tell me about it. Well, someone's got to step up and help these guys. So that's what we're doing. It's not the first time, and I hope it won't be the last time. Okay, what would you like to talk about? Let's go to some of the breaking news out there. Let's have the sound. There's a breaking news story we got to tell them about. Well, the breaking news is there is no breaking news. Everyone in the news business is making up the news in order to have you watch the flashing lights. They play a flashing light symbol on Fox News. There is no news whatsoever, other than there's a snow blizzard across the top of the United States. And only six states are not expecting snow in the coming week. I wish we were getting here in California, down in San Francisco, could clean the streets. What a pleasure that would be to see snow in these... What if they snowed on the bums? Maybe they would go into a shelter for the first time, and then they could shovel the snow away. White House says Obama is looking forward to executive action on immigration. He won't stop. The Mad King Lear will not stop. What do you mean he's looking forward to it? The guy's an insane lunatic. He wants another showdown? Then they should give him another showdown. That's all I have to say. The man's a lunatic for doing a thing like this. No one could believe this. Obama, they know, is a madman. They understand that. They know he's mad in one regard, but not mad in another. What he wants here is no doubt to be impeached, because he feels that will help his party. And so there must be some intermediary step to stop the gum-chewing megalomaniac before he destroys this country even further. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Playing a little Journey now, any way you want it. What a great group. During the month I was in transition between radio shows, when I left one syndication company and joined Cumulus, I was off the air for a month, I think. And I used to play this song Lights by Journey, and it brought tears to my eyes because it was about San Francisco. And I could not wait to get back on the radio in San Francisco, in particular, KSFO at night. And here I am. It's almost 2 years later. It is 2 years later. I mean, time just, wow. Where does it go? How does it move so quickly? You know, is the question. I remember how the anticipation I had. Now it's 2 years later. It's amazing to me. 20 years in radio. President Obama named 19 recipients for the highest medal, civilian medal in the land. The highest medal in the land, the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Take a guess who he's giving it to, the lunatic. Tom Brokaw. I swear to God. I swear to God. I'm not making this up. 19 named for Medal of Freedom by Obama. This man is such a fanatic loser, it's beyond belief. Why would he give a Medal of Freedom to Tom Brokaw, a man thrown off the air for being a biased mouthpiece? Wait, it gets worse. Meryl Streep's getting a Medal of Freedom. Not a military man, not a single veteran is getting this award. Meryl Streep? John Dingell? Wait, it gets even worse. The lunatic president will bestow the nation's highest civilian honor, in addition to these, posthumously, to three slain civil rights activists slain in 1964 while working to register blacks to vote. I swear to God, these people live in the past in a way you could never imagine. It gets even worse. Isabel Allende is getting one. A choreographer, Alvin Ailey, is getting one. I never heard of these people. How is a golfer is getting one? Meryl Streep, Marlo Thomas, and Stevie Wonder. Presidential Medal of Freedom. Can you believe this? At a time like this, this lunatic president would do this?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
We celebrate Veterans Day on the anniversary of the armistice that ended World War I. And the living have a responsibility to remember the conditions that led to the wars in which our heroes died. Because what they gave us is beyond our powers to repay. Peace fails when we forget what we stand for. It fails when we forget that our republic is based on firm principles. That with them, we are the last best hope of man on earth.
Now compare that with the lunatic in a Mao jacket in China, chewing gum, insulting himself and the presidency, and making one outrageous statement after another, throwing barbs back at the American voter who just roundly said to him, "You are a disaster, sir. If you had any shame, you would resign." But nevertheless, here we are, and for the last hour we were talking about the missing dog. And not just any dog, but a military dog stolen by the military. And we are still trying to get to the bottom of it. We also talked about the myth of sexual reassignment from those who have had it and wish they hadn't. They claim that they were brainwashed, that they wish that they didn't have the surgeries done. And Sherry on KSFO Radio in San Francisco has something to say about that story. Sherry, go ahead, please.
For taking my call. Listen, I'm a 53-year-old lesbian. And I have a little insight, if you're interested.
That's why we took your call.
What's that?
That's why we put you on the radio. What's your insight?
Well, my insight is that when I was in my 20s, I used to fantasize about life maybe being better if I was a guy. And, oh, I know that they do the sex change stuff. Well, I never did it, you know, and so... That being said, I go out into the social environment, you know, the lesbian social scene, and I see these women, these 20-year-olds, that have surgically removed their breasts, and they're taking male hormones, and the reality is, they're not guys. In fact, they're usually really tiny, and they look like little leprechauns, and the lesbians really don't want anything to do with them. And obviously straight women probably don't want anything to do with them. And I just kind of feel like not only is it sexual or genital mutilation, it's kind of a psychological mutilation.
I have felt the same way. If a person's gay, they're gay. If they want to be gay, they're gay. They're gay, they're straight. If they're lesbian, they're lesbian. Leave them alone, that's all. But this whole idea that a man inside a man's body there's a woman, so he should live as a gay man, that's all. What's with the mutilating his body? I never understood that.
Yeah, I agree with that. And they're doing this, and it's irreversible. That's the thing that...
Yeah, well, that's the whole point of the article. People say that when they try to post the story that they regret it, their websites are taken down by a group of fanatics who don't want anyone to even talk about it.
Right. Well, once you take your breath off, that's it. And, you know, you're not a man. And I know a lot of gay people would probably hate me saying this, but, you know, we kind of talk about this behind the scenes, that a lot of us don't really agree with it. And it's kind of weird.
Yeah, well, who says you have to go along with everything within any community? You know, people don't have to go along with ideas across the board. I mean, you know, just because you're a lesbian doesn't mean you're not a fiscal conservative, for example. It's probably why you listen to this show.
I am a conservative. Yes, I am. I go against the grain in many ways.
I'm sure you do. And I have to keep saying, and I wish I had kept in touch with her, when I was a local talk show, well, no, when I had a TV show for a brief period of time, I had a San Francisco Police Department bodyguard, two of them. One of them was a woman who was 6'4". She was lesbian. She was the toughest man I ever met. I mean, she could knock three men through a window.
Right.
But she didn't feel that she had to get sexual reassignment surgery to be what she was.
Yeah.
And she was a conservative, a diehard conservative. She loved my show.
Yeah, you know, I think there's this pressure. I think, honestly, from my perspective as a gay woman, I feel like it's a trend. It's almost like a trendy, weird thing that they're out there doing this. And it's sad because these are young girls. I'm 53 now. I would never be a guy. I'm so happy being a woman. I can't believe that I even thought like that. And they're doing this in their...
So what you're saying is thank God that you're older and you weren't living through those feelings now, because you might do something drastic the way the younger girls are doing it and then have an irreversible mutilation that you can never correct.
Exactly. And that's why I think it's so sad. Anyway, I just wanted to offer you that perspective because...
All right. Well, thanks for listening. I would send you a copy of my book, but I'm afraid you'd be ostracized in your community.
Read that, but I don't care. I'm already ostracized. I'm a conservative.
Okay, stay on the line. I will send you Stop the Coming Civil War in a plain brown wrapper. Oh, Veterans Day. Poor men. Just poor men, how they're mistreated. Well, here's some other good sound that the guys culled for you. This is a beauty. Here is the drooler, John McCain, who before he even reviewed Loretta Lynch, who has been picked by Al Sharpton to be the next attorney general, if you can believe this, another radical feminist from New York, picked by Obama and Al Sharpton, according to all sources I've read. Listen to what John McCain said in clip two.
Why not wait until you have a new Senate where we can look at this with some time to examine? It's one of the most important positions there is. And I would imagine from my first glance at her credentials that she would get approved by the Senate. This is a very outstanding young woman from everything that I can tell.
God help us. Just save us from John McCain. Here we go again. She's a very outstanding young woman. Why? What's outstanding about her? She doesn't like a voter ID law. She's in favor of illegal aliens being granted amnesty. What is so nice about her? Idiot. John McCain thinks he's going to run for the presidency, and he has every right to, but if he does, he will destroy the Republican Party's chances forever. And if I were a Democrat, I would fund John McCain's presidential aspirations. In fact, if I were running Hillary Clinton's campaign, I would immediately see if I could find $20 million to anonymously send to the John McCain fund. That's just what we need now. Unbelievable. Listen to clip three and four now, three and four.
It means that it's going to dramatically harm the chances for comprehensive immigration reform. It makes you question really how interested or committed he is to that, because if he would wait some months, and a few months wouldn't matter either way, after all we've been at this effort for a long time, then maybe John Boehner, with an increased number of representatives, Republicans in the House of Representatives, would be able to move forward in some fashion.
Okay, well, there we go. Okay, McCain, let's move on. Joe Biden's always good for a laugh. We don't have any cuckoo clock today for Nancy Pelosi. We have this. There's a woman named Rihanna. I don't know who she is. I think she's an entertainer of some sort, isn't she? Yeah, That's why she was invited to the White House. I'm surprised she hasn't been given a Presidential Medal of Freedom. But listen to this in clip 18. This is hard to believe.
Rihanna, what's the best thing about visiting the White House?
My president being black.
Okay.
That's all. Simple. Rihanna, what's the best thing about visiting the White House? My president being black. Well, that's a qualification. Now, that's a very fair-minded statement. Now, what if they interviewed a white entertainer when, take any president as Caucasian, and they said to the entertainer, let's pick one out of the air. I don't know. Who's a white entertainer? I can't even think of one. Give me a white entertainer who's being Eminem. They say, is that a candy or a person? I don't know, Eminem. Eminems are chocolate candy. They say, Eminem, what's the best thing about visiting the White House? And he says, my president being white. Think that would be kind of the end of his career? Ooh, I think so. I think so. This is the Savage Nation Sea War. Environmentalists sue to protect ocean life from Navy war games. Communist environmentalists fight the U.S. Navy in court amid fears of collateral damage to whales, dolphins, and other marine life during war games currently underway in the Pacific Ocean. Now, I have sympathy for my cetacean friends. Let me tell you that. But I have more sympathy for my survival than I do for the survival of whales. And one thing I know is we need a strong Air Force and a strong Navy to defeat our enemies. It's that simple. The war games are crucial. They should go on. And every protection afforded the cetaceans should be granted. But that doesn't mean we should let the Navy be held hostage by the environmental maniacs. It's that simple. WABC Lou, welcome to the Savage Nation. Oh, yeah, press the right button. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Mr. Savage. A pleasure speaking to you. I've been you my whole life, so I can really associate. But I just wanted to mention...
Wait, you've been what your whole life?
I've been Mr. Savage in my own way because I am the same...
Oh, you've been me your whole life. Okay. I pity you. Lou, I'm sorry to hear it.
No. Listen, it's an honor. You kidding me? I just wanted to say that... I really enjoy President Obama because he's like the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, I understand, but he's doing damage every day. It's one thing for him to be a lunatic that alienates half the country. It's another thing for him to make appointments and executive orders that can't be reversed.
But every time he opens his mouth, more people realize...
Yes, and he compensates for the more people who awaken with millions of illegal aliens who are not even citizens who will automatically vote Democrat. It's a calculation to them, Lou. The man has to be stopped.
Well,
he must be impeached immediately upon his return from China. He should be arrested at the airport for sedition. Thanks for the call. Dottie on KSFO in Sacramento, California. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael, you're not going to believe this. All the time I've ever bought your book, I bought them at Costco, and I haven't been able to find them in months and months, ever since they came on the market. Yesterday I went in there, there's a whole pile of them in Costco in Roseville. I couldn't believe it.
And then, yes, that's because the sales have been so remarkable, despite the blacklisting by Martha Washington and Bill O'Reilly on Fox, despite the blacklisting by all the websites. My book is 4 weeks on the bestseller list, and as a result, Costco decided to stock the book. That's what happened.
Oh, really? Let me tell you another thing. Why are they? People are so stupid. They keep saying the president's black. He's not black. He's brown. Where the hell did he find out he's black? That's a stupid.
Well, it's not about black or brown. He's a mixed race president. If you want to be blunt about it, he did have a Caucasian mother and an African father.
Yeah.
But he identifies apparently with the one. One parent more than another, although politically identifies more so with his mother than anyone else. She was a lifetime leftist by all the readings I've done.
They're all nuts. Get them out of there.
Well, yeah, good luck. 855-400-7282. General, Mr. Sessions says no surrender on immigration. Cannot let one executive edict erase the laws of the entire nation. He's right. Do something about it. Please do something for us. Arrest the man. He says, who will protect the nation if not us? Arrest him. Go and arrest him. Take the sergeant of arms and arrest the man. Okay, more than 3 in 4 voters said immigration was an important factor in their vote. They said U.S. workers should get priority for jobs. They opposed the megalomaniac's plans for executive amnesty. That's why there was a landslide. But Obama the next day says, screw the laws, screw the people. I don't care. I'm going to pass executive amnesty. This is a decree. It is not a law. It is illegal.
I have studied the executive action. It does not permit a president to make law. Nobody has given this lunatic the sole and absolute power to decide who shall be a citizen. Nobody has given him the sole and absolute right to decide who could enter the United States. Nobody has given this lunatic the right to wipe out our borders. Nobody has done so, and he must be stopped. And I want the Republicans who were just swept into office to be like what they were elected to do. They were massively told to do one thing, which is to stop the lunatic, stop amnesty, cut off funding for green cards, cut off employment authorizations for illegal immigrants. This is what they were sent to do. Congress has the power of the purse. The megalomaniac cannot spend a dime unless Congress appropriates it. Do you hear me? Congress can stop the president. So how are they not doing this? Why would the Republicans surrender Congress's most powerful constitutional tool before January? Why would they do this? I'm asking you. Why is the Republican Party rolling over already? Where are they? We must close the borders. We must rearm the Border Patrol. And we must stop Obama by defunding him before he gets out of control. John, Connecticut. Gary, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
All right, Mike, and I bought your book, and I told them to order more. And I can tell you, you have no imitators, just a bunch of epigones out there. Now at the White House, they hand out all these awards. It's just it's an extension of the Hollywood freak show, and it is up to us, really, to also demand...
Wait, you used Gary, I loved your word. Epigone? What is an epigone?
Epigones are just people who make a lot of noise and sounds, but they can't really imitate the original or the...
Oh, hey, hold it. A real fan from Connecticut on WABC. Epigone. Well, we all like to think that we're the best, and in my case, I know it's true.
And that's how you get where you are. You have to believe that. Also, the 65 Immigration Act has to be repealed. That's another thing to stick into the left.
Well, that was passed by the drunk Kennedy. Kennedy lied when he said the Immigration Reform Act of 1965 will not change the demographics of America. I promise you. He also promised Mary Jo Kopechne that he had a life preserver in the back of his car.
Exactly, and that was a bicycle bridge he was driving over. People don't realize that. The thing now with the 65 Immigration Act, we repeal it, that would really send the left and the Looney Tunes going crazy. The border has to be sealed. We know these illegal immigrants.
Can you imagine what America could be like if we eliminated the Anchor Babies law, number one, and number two, repealed that Immigration Act, and we suddenly saved America from its fall over the precipice? I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Would you voluntarily sterilize yourself? Well, many men are doing so through vasectomy. Thousands of men step up on World Vasectomy Day, trumpets the San Francisco newspaper. Yes, the old urologists are pushing the myth that vasectomies are perfectly safe and it's important for men to step forward and sterilize themselves. Now that Dr. Mengele has long been dead, we now have such doctors who think that Dr. Mengele was correct in sterilizing those in a concentration camp. But it's not as risk-free as you may think. Did you know about vasectomies and the dangers of vasectomies? Oh, you don't know about that? Another complication that's been buried from you? Well, I'll tell you more about that.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Keeps on turning. Great group. I love Dreddy. Welcome to The Savage Nation, hour number three. In this hour, we depart from normal programming, where we do no programming. We basically play sound, take calls, give you breaking news. And we've had callers lined up since the first hour on the soldier's hero dog stolen by the military, the myth of the sex change, vasectomies. Let's see what else we did to excite your senses here on the Savage Nation. Meanwhile, the phone number is 855-407-282. We're all breathing a little easier now that the lunatic is in China. And we can breathe easily until he comes back. But even from China, he's threatening America that the minute he gets back, he's going to work on amnesty for millions and millions of non-citizens in order to make certain that the demographics of America change forever and that the white man no longer has a vote, basically. He didn't say that. But, I mean, I can read between the lines. What's he saying? He said the one-third of people who caused the earthquake don't count. Well, the white man turned against them. They finally woke up to the fact that he was against them. So they voted him out, and guess what happened? He said, fine, keep doing what you want. You don't matter. We're going to bring in as many people who don't look like you as I possibly can, and then you'll have no relevancy whatsoever. That's what's going on, I mean, plain English, between one person and another. Anyone who studies this man knows there's a racial bitterness and enmity in him that's hard to fathom. He's been a spoiled, rich man his whole life. His entire life he's been spoiled, and there it is. He's looking forward to executive action. Let's take some calls. WJR in Detroit. Andy, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hello. Thank you, Dr. Savage, for taking my call. My comment here, I guess more of a question, is that you know I'm 25 years old, haven't been voting for very long, and in all honesty, haven't been interested or knowledgeable about the world around me for all that long, you know, as long as those, you know, my senior. My question more is, every day I hear more and more of the scandals, the crimes committed not just of this presidency, but of all the liberals around me. And my question is, has this been happening this whole time? Am I getting older and wiser, and I'm starting to realize that this is happening? Or
all you got to do is look. All you got to do, let's start with your backyard. Look what liberal Democrats did to Detroit when they had absolute power. They decimated the city through their activities, through taxation without representation, and by pumping up salaries beyond the point at which the auto companies could survive. The same mentality that destroyed your city of Detroit is destroying the United States of America using the very same psychotic liberal thinking. Raise taxes, create increased bureaucracies which stand in the way of individuals and businesses, and eventually the United States will crumble. It's been proven over and over again that that's what they're doing. Their policies were voted out of office, but the lunatic in charge of their party, Barack Hussein Obama, said, I don't care. I'll do what I have to with a pen. So what does that tell you? We've never had a president like this in modern American history. We've never had a man as fanatically leftist as this man. We've never had a man as megalomaniacal as this man. As I said to my listeners last Wednesday after the election, you'd think there was no election. Because the next day he got up and said, go to hell, I'll do what I want anyway. Now, Bill Clinton, had he seen such an earthquake, would have come out and reached across the aisle and tried to compromise. But this man has never had a compromise in his life, and he doesn't intend to start now. Next caller, Randy on WABC. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello, Michael.
Yes, sir.
I guess all is right with the world now that the Republicans have won back their seats. And
Yeah, everything's perfect, Randy. Look at McCain. He's already to appoint the attorney general, even though he never looked at anything she did, because she seems like a nice person.
They got our message loud and clear that we want them to show us that they can govern, that they can compromise with Obama.
Oh, yeah, they already got the message, but they got the wrong message.
Why do I feel like I voted for a slow and agonizing death as opposed to a...
Randy, I love you. You're the inventor, right?
Yes.
You're the ambiguous inventor who calls the show every once in a while with your sarcasm, which I love. Well, let me ask you something. You're a scientist. Experimental mice have told us for years that their brains shrink when they give them marijuana. And it says that pot-smoking humans didn't want to believe it, but it is happening to them. It says, compared with a person who never smoked marijuana, someone who uses marijuana regularly has an average less gray matter in his orbital frontal cortex. Does that describe liberalism, a smaller orbital frontal cortex?
Well, I think it's a kind of a left brain and a right brain thing. And the left brain, they're very good at certain things. You have to admire them in some respects.
Yeah, they're very good at guitar playing, for sure.
Organizing and...
Guitar playing, rolling joints.
Yes, but they're very organized.
I don't think a non-pot smoker could roll a joint with one hand. I'm sure that those with smaller brains learn how to do it more quickly.
Unfortunately.
So, my friend, you're not happy that the Republicans were given the power because of the way they're showing themselves to be the spineless cowards that they've always been.
I'm afraid that where the deeper you sink into quicksand, the harder it is to get out. And
yeah, but you know, I'm not a pessimist. On the other hand, what can I tell you? I don't like what I'm hearing coming out of McConnell the Gobbler and out of the Clink. It looks to me like they gave up before they even started because they're ready to go back to their K Street ways, Randy. Thank you for listening. We have a caller going back a long time on KKOH out of Reno, Nevada. Scott, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Thanks, Michael. I hope you can hear me okay.
Hey, perfect.
I think we've got a spoiled little child in the White House.
Yeah, but he's a dangerous brat. Obama's a very dangerous, spoiled brat. You're right. Correct. He's behaving like a child. I may have lost, but I'll do what I want, and you can't stop me. Bam, 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 bam. But what are we going to do about it? Nothing. Toledo, Ohio. Paul, you're next up. What's on your mind? Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, thank you, Dr. Savage, for taking my call there, sir. Yeah, it's in regards to the environmentalists. I told the screener in plain terms what I refer to them as commies. And
well, when you see environmentalists suing the U.S. Navy to stop war games for our military, what does that tell you? They're anti-military, anti-American. They're seditious SOBs, and they should be arrested. I myself am a conservationist. I'm not an environmentalist. I've spent years researching and trying to save rainforests. That's a little different than using the environment, so to speak, to, let us say, cripple the nation. But let's go back to the small brains. Researchers noted that the IQ of the marijuana-using group was significantly lower than that of the non-using group. Did you know that? That's an incidental factor. Small, lower IQs. Albuquerque-based, let's see what they're doing, studying them and research from the University of Texas Center for Brain, found this. They compared 48 chronic marijuana users with 62 non-using control subjects, and they found that the brains are smaller in the marijuana users. Now, we don't know if the brains were smaller to begin with, or whether marijuana shrunk the brain. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. We know that the brains are smaller. And we know that people with a smaller orbital frontal cortex at age 12 were more likely to start using marijuana by age 16. So I guess that indicates that they have smaller brains to begin with. And it suggests that deficits in this crucial region may predispose one to substance abuse behaviors. So that explains Hollywood. They all had smaller brains, and just many of them are very good looking. They pass for normal. They look like they're handsome. They play war heroes when they're not. Many of them are men. They play men when they're not really men, and they play women when they're not really women. And that's a result of the smaller brain. That's what goes into the High School of Performing Arts. I mean, if you look back to your high school years, who was it amongst your peers who didn't go to regular high school who chose to go into the performing arts? They weren't all talented. Many of them were just messed up. It doesn't mean that everyone who's an artist is messed up, but it helps. It absolutely helps if you're messed up, if you want to create great art. And don't take this the wrong way. I happen to love art. I happen to love music. Why do you think I'm playing Journey? I'm sure that many of them had smaller frontal cortexes. I mean, maybe that's what it takes to create great guitar music, is a small frontal cortex. I don't know. Maybe I have too large an orbital frontal cortex. That could be my downfall. But I've always been blessed with a very logical mind, and as a result, I had to overcome using marijuana in my youth. It almost destroyed me. See, I want to tell you about marijuana. I don't care whether you use it or not. It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter. It's medically dangerous. The marijuana smoke is more toxic than cigarette smoke, is my main message. And also, in a world that is so competitive, why would you want to impede your mental state? I don't understand it. In a world where competition is more severe than ever, why would you want to run around with a 40-pound weight on your brain? I don't understand people. How do you think it's going to help you get ahead in life to be a dumb pothead? I don't get it. I don't understand how people can't see how it slows them down. I don't get it. And that's the story. I mean, I don't want to stay on this forever and ever. It's just the way I see it. Joe in Reno on KKOH, welcome. What's on your mind about marijuana?
I agree with you 100%. I also think that it deals a lot with the person who does it. I think lazy people who smoke weed are going to just be twice as lazy.
And like, that's interesting. That's interesting. That's true. There's a great truth in that. It's like people who drink alcohol. I mean, they say that they're a mean drunk. They're usually mean without drinking, and they just get meaner with drinking. Thank you for the call. I think he was a little bit on the marijuana right there. Let's have another song from Journey as I think about the next topic. Music and Scare Away the Devils with Michael Savage. It is 18 minutes after the hour. I'll be right back. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I don't consider it a wave. I think it's an ebbing of Democratic voters rather than a wave of Republican voters, because I don't think the American people gave anybody a great big seal of approval. The president has the authority to act by executive order on immigration. It's in the law, but it's also in the precedence of other presidents.
Yeah, Pelosi again. We thought she was gone. We thought the witch was gone. Oh, no, the midterms wasn't a GOP wave. It was an ebb of Dem voters. And the dictator can act because it's in the precedence of other presidents. See, she's not evil. She's stupid. And the Democrat Party is dumber for keeping her in a leadership position and for not acting to remove the president and replace him with Biden. Because as liberal as Biden is, he is at least a known entity to the American people and to the international community. Obama is a disaster to the nation and to the world. There's an article right now of our president in China where he's chewing gum, stepping out of his car, and they're shocked by it. They call him a slacker now. They cannot believe what they're looking at. They're looking at a president acting like a slacker, and that's what they called him, a slacker. Showed up chewing gum, getting out of a car, and riling the Chinese. Gum-chewing Obama riles Chinese. And what they're saying is they're calling him the rude one. The rude one. He's rude to them, too. And he emerged from his car chewing gum. He's a well-known user of Nicorette. But Chinese internet users, accustomed to the highly formal standards of their stiff party leadership, quickly characterized Obama, the leader of the world's most powerful nation, as an impolite, quote, idler or careless rapper. Quote, we made this meeting so luxurious with singing and dancing, but see Obama stepping out of his car chewing gum like an idler, wrote a professor of journalism at Beijing Tsinghua University. And the rest is history. That's who you have now in the White House. An embarrassment around the world. A living embarrassment. You may say let him stay there where he belongs, but no, he's coming back. Now, he's going to appoint someone named Loretta Lynch to be Attorney General. I pray to God she's blocked for a number of reasons. First of all, it's alleged she was picked by the vile Al Sharpton. She comes from New York City. She's been involved with Sharpton in many of the decisions that he has profited from. It's shocking that Obama would not pick a moderate for Attorney General, but he continued to pick a radical leftist in the image of himself, even after the drubbing they took in the election. We have sound that we got from Newsmax. The Attorney General nominee, Loretta Lynch, what a telling name, Lynch. A lynch mob is about to take over the... In this clip, she attacks voter ID laws. This is Loretta Lynch, who will be Attorney General unless she is stopped by the Republicans. Listen.
50 years after the March on Washington, 50 years after the Civil Rights Movement, we stand in this country at a time when we see people trying to take back so much of what Dr. King fought for.
Oh, God. This woman is a radical that should never be confirmed for Attorney General's office. She is as dangerous, if not more dangerous, than Holder. She has no business in the Attorney General's office. She is an extreme left-wing ideologue. Just understand what's at stake. If he puts this one in, we're going to have two years of hell in this country. Here's what she's attacking, our voter ID laws. What are voter ID laws? They make certain that you qualify to vote. Every sane nation on earth has them. And the only way these illegitimate Democrats win is through illegal aliens and voters who are not qualified to vote. So she says she's going to uphold more of this rather than less of it. So by this soundbite that we got for you from the Newsmax Corporation, she's unqualified because she's too biased to be an attorney general. She is supposed to be the top law enforcement official in the United States of America. She's not supposed to be a partisan. Do you understand? Look what we just went through with Holder for all these years. I ran into a few people in my neighborhood that I say hello to, and they all said the same thing. They were shocked that he could get away with what he got away with on Wednesday. Tuesday, the man lost the greatest upset in modern American political history. Wednesday, he gave a speech where there was no contrition. He got up like the arrogant man that he is, the megalomaniac that he is, and went on saying, I'll use a pen to do what I want.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
We're talking about all the lonely veterans out there, not about you and your crybaby self. Guys who had legs shot off, eyes blown out, fingers knocked off, seen their friends blown up in front of their eyes, or their dog blown up in front of their eyes, and now we have one of a dog being stolen from him, a war dog. And these are guys who fought with these dogs, lived with the dogs, slept with the dogs. The dog has become a part of them. Many of these people will tell you that the dog saved their lives. And now someone stole his dog. And it's just not right. It's that simple. This is just not right. Where is this dog? Why did they take it from him? Army regulations say he's allowed to adopt the dog. Bill Clinton, to his credit, signed that bill in the year 2000. He filled out the adoption papers. He comes back, they take the dog, they give it to some private company that no longer exists, K2 Solutions, and then the dog disappears. Where is he? How can we help? This is a huge story, and it's going to be a bigger story by the time we get through with it on the Savage Nation today. And it's about a stolen war dog. The other day I was reading the New York Post, and Maureen Callahan wrote an article entitled Soldier's Hero Dog Stolen by Military. It's not that long a story. You want to pay attention to it for 1 minute, please? Do you know how important a dog is to most people? Well, now magnify that by a factor of, what, 10 to a returning veteran who was injured in combat along with the dog, both of whom were injured when a roadside improvised explosive device planted by the Islamo-fascists detonated, injuring both the Czech German shepherd named Matty and specialist Brent Grommet. Are you ready for this one? As they flew back to the United States, Mr. Grommet slept on top of Matty's crate in the airplane. They were locked together at the hips. They landed at an Air Force base in New Jersey, and the two were separated, which was standard operating procedure. Mr. Grommet wasn't worried, though, because according to Army regulations, if he wanted his dog Matty, he had the sole right to adopt his military war dog. This right is known as Robbie's Law and was signed by President Clinton in 2000. Well, Mr. Grommet had filled out the adoption paperwork in the Middle East, and he handed it over to a private firm that then contracted with the Army on canine issues entitled K2 Solutions. Well, they took his dog Matty away for an examination, and that was the last he ever saw the dog. He says a Lieutenant Colonel Richard Vargas absconded with the dog, and the military has done nothing to make it right. As you can hear, my dog Teddy is barking in the background. And I know what it's like to lose a dog. It is like someone stealing your kid right in front of your eyes, according to Mr. Grommet. Mr. Grommet is 23 years old. He came back from Afghanistan fighting for us with traumatic brain injury, hearing loss, spinal cord injury. He's in daily pain, many surgeries. And his dog, Matty, calmed his mood swings. His father, Don, who's a paramedic, called every military base in the United States that handles military working dogs. Nobody would answer him. Finally, he reached someone at Fort Bragg. He was given a runaround until he got an anonymous tip from a civilian employee on base who whispered and said, I have no control over this. You need to talk to Richard Vargas. And she hung up. Mr. Vargas, the lieutenant colonel, was in charge of military dog adoptions. Well, Don, his father, got Vargas on the phone. And here's what Vargas said to the father. He said, I adopted the dog out legally, so there's nothing you could do about it. And then he hung up on him. And a soldier's hero dog that has gone missing is a story that will touch the hearts of anyone who hears it. And I'm appealing to those of you who listen to this show who are in the military, whether you voted for Obama, work for Obama, doesn't matter to me. This could be a great thing for the president to step in here himself, by the way, and get Maddie back for a specialist grommet. That's all we're asking. Something is wrong with this picture. And I believe that I should tell you what just happened during the break. Really heavy duty, top brass, were calling my producer, Neil, saying we're not going on the air, but we know people way up on the food chain, and we are way above Lieutenant Colonel Vargas. We're a much higher level. We're going to find out where that dog is. So already the New York Post article and the Savage Nation may have helped. I hope to God that dog is alive. I have a very bad gut feeling about this, by the way. But we've got to get Maddie back to specialist Brent Grommet. We got to find out who stole him and why. But there's some questions that bother me. Where is the dog now? If they've been offered $10,000, a new puppy, training for free, and they won't return it, something worries me. And what worries me is, and I'm not putting this out there because I want to scare you, I don't know if, what if they took that injured dog and put him into a dog fight ring and he's dead for $500? How do we know how low people can be? Do you know what people do to people in this world for nothing, for fun, for sport? Do you know how, I don't want to get into this. I just don't want to get into it. Because once I go down the dark road, it takes me a long time to come back from it. I have dark chambers in my mind that I can enter, that are hard to retreat from, and I'm not in the mood to do some cave dwelling right now. But something's wrong with this picture. That dog, if it was alive, would have been returned for $10,000. And whoever did this is potentially going to be court-martialed for misconduct. We have tried to contact the K2 Solutions Company. They're closed for Veterans Day. We are trying to contact all of those individuals that I've listed on michaelsavage.com. You can do it yourself now. It's out of my hands. We have a list of them on my site. We have emails for General Odierno, Army Chief of Staff. Now, I realize at first this is nothing to him. This is just cannon fodder with a dog. They look down upon low-ranking members of the military the same way the politicians look down upon voters. You don't exist. You're of no value. If you don't live in New York or Los Angeles or Chicago and your father or mother is not connected to the political machine or you have no lawyer father, forget about it. You're worthless. You're cannon fodder. I wanna move on if I can, but I know many of you are so agitated with the questions I raised. Now, collectively, what we see is a lawlessness unlike any we've ever seen in the White House in modern times. Surely in the past we've had brigands in the White House who were worse than him in some ways, but never before has a president had so much power, nor has a president ever had the press so much in his pocket, and there was no Hollywood in those ancient times to parse the truth and to create fantasies about who we have in the White House. He has committed high crimes and misdemeanors, and we've been talking about impeachable offenses on the Savage Nation. Now, what he just said will be played for you in clip 12 is very telling. I want you to play clip 12 again and listen to this. He says, the American people sent a message. Once, one they've sent for several elections now. What does he mean by several elections now? Meaning, well, it's just like an election when I was elected. They expect the people they elect to work as hard as they do. Right? He goes on. And he says, I heard you. He says, I heard you, and to the two-thirds of voters who chose not to participate, I heard you too. Now, there's the liar at work again. There's the megalomaniac, the liar, the double-talking lawyer at work. Because two-thirds of the voters never vote in midterm elections. So what he's saying to you subtly is, oh, we heard you nuts on the right. We heard you nuts. We know you're the cause of an earthquake, but you know it doesn't really count. Because all of those who didn't vote, the stoners, the college girls on drugs, all the minorities, all the illegal aliens we couldn't get into the polls yet, well, they didn't participate, but I listen to them more than I listen to you, and I'm going to represent them more than I'm going to represent you nut bars. That's what he just said. Do you understand how crazy this is? So this is a very big deal. And I want to tell you again that I worry about him, and I worry about this republic, because we don't have a leadership that even heard us, by the way. Boehner didn't hear us. The gobbler, McConnell, didn't hear us. They're going along as though it's It's suddenly it's them all over again, and it was all about them. They weren't elected to power because we like them. Who's we? We the people. We voted, didn't we? But we don't really count to Boehner and to McConnell. We're just the nuts. So who are they responding to? The K Street gangsters who are going to get us into another foreign war? And what might happen is extremely dangerous. Is there enough evidence to call Obama a traitor? Well, in his best-selling book, Stop the Coming Civil War, Michael Savage makes a well-documented argument that the Obama administration is waging a multifaceted war in America's borders, language, culture, military, middle class, health care, science, and schools. And I list all of the reasons. And I wrote that the once righteous and heroic America is replaced with a leftist government defined by immorality and greed. I define it in the book, and many of you have bought it. And incidentally, it's 4 weeks now on the bestseller list, despite the blackout by Rush Limbaugh and Fox News. Despite the fact that I'm not a member of their cartel, that his brother doesn't represent me. Despite the fact that I'm truly an independent conservative voice, you, the audience of the Savage Nation, have gone to the bookstores, gone online, and made this book 4 weeks in a row. They couldn't control that. You have to understand why I'm saying that to you. It's not because I don't like Rush Limbaugh. I don't know him. But he is a competitor of mine. Make no mistake about it. You'd like to think we all get together and go bowling after we're off the radio. We don't know each other. And everybody wants everybody else's position. Everybody. And I'm the only one in the business who could ever take his place, and he knows it. That's why he refuses to acknowledge me. And the little mini-me rushes continue to undermine me at their own risk. Because the day will come and they will be gone from the landscape and I will still be here. I can guarantee you. I was going through my journals from 1968. I'm editing them, as I told you. And they'll be published, hopefully, in my lifetime. I found a note that I took in 1968 when I was a very young man. Notes in Greek and English written by Karl Marx. I said, holy God, who does this describe? Listen to this. The notes were written by Karl Marx in Latin and in English. And the English translation is that of Obama. It says, every opinion based on scientific criticism, said Karl Marx, I welcome. As to the prejudices of so-called public opinion, to which I have never made concessions, now is aforetime the maxim of the great Florentine is mine, which is this. Pursue your own course no matter what the people say. And I said, holy God, Karl Marx is literally the bookkeeper for Barack Obama. Pursue your own course no matter what the people say. This is not about a strong will. This is about a dictatorship of a Marxist. I worked for the election. I had an effect on the election. Many of us did. I'm one of several who had an effect on the election. We warned the white people what was happening to them under this racist administration. I know I'm not supposed to say that, but I'll say it again in case you missed it. We warned the white people what was happening to them under this racist administration. Do you have to be a genius to understand what I just said? Everything that came out of his mouth, that hold his mouth, was anti-white. It was like having Al Sharpton in the White House. Why do I say it? Because he had Al Sharpton in the White House more than he would have had George Washington in the White House. That's why. One of the most despicable human beings that America's ever seen. A street rat, Freddy's Fashion Mart, you name it. Tawana Brawley, he's invited to the White House. George Washington is persona non grata. Bust of Winston Churchill thrown in the garbage can. What are you talking about? You don't see what's coming out of the White House. Well, the people saw it and they voted. They never thought the white dummy would put his hat on backwards, take it off his head and go vote. They thought the white dummy was already triangulated with sports and entertainment and he was not going to. They counted him out. Even the white people, the 68% of the population. No, the white person's finished. It's the illegal alien. Yeah, right. And the welfare recipient. That's what they were counting on. Well, guess what? There was a revenge factor here. The idiots woke up. They put took the hat off.
I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Well, the big topic of the day today is the hero dog stolen by the military, and we had the hero dog owner's father on the show to try and get the Czech German Shepherd named Matty back to specialist Brent Grommet, who returned from Afghanistan with his war dog named Matty. Now, the two had gone through basic training together. They deployed together. They were injured together. when a roadside IED detonated, put there by your friends in the Muslim fanatic community. Mr. Gromit slept on top of Maddie's crate as they flew back to the United States. That's how much he loves this dog. Well, listen what happened next. When they landed at an Air Force base in New Jersey, the two were separated. Standard operating procedure by the Army. Gromit wasn't worried, though. According to Army regs, if he wanted his dog Maddie, he had the right to adopt his military working dog. This right is known as Robbie's Law. It was signed by President Clinton in 2000. Mr. Gromit had already filled out the adoption paperwork in the Middle East and handed it over to the private firm that then contracted with the Army on canine issues called K2 Solutions. Well, the company took Maddie for an examination. The dog was never seen again. Mr. Gromit says Lieutenant Colonel Richard Vargas absconded with Maddie, and the military has done nothing to make it right. He said it's like someone stole your kid right in front of you, and he can't do anything about it. Mr. Gromit, now 23 years of age, came back from Afghanistan with traumatic brain injury, hearing loss, and spinal cord injury. The latter required surgery and still causes him severe daily pain. His dog, Maddie, calmed his mood swings, says his father, Don. Don said when he thought he was getting the dog back, he seemed to be doing better. But months went by without any word on Brent's adoption papers, and all of Mr. Gromit's queries were ignored by the Army. His father called every military base in the U.S. that handled military working dogs. No one would answer him. Finally, he was run around by someone at Fort Bragg. He received an anonymous tip from a civilian on base who said, "Listen to me, I have no control over this. You need to talk to Richard Vargas." And then they hung up. Vargas, you see, was in charge of military dog adoptions. Well, Don got Vargas on the phone. Vargas said to the father, "Look, I adopted this dog out legally. There's nothing you could do about it." And then he hung up. Can you believe this? Are you listening to me? Vargas, now at the Pentagon, has not responded to messages left by the New York Post, who broke this story. Maureen Callahan broke the story at the Post. When Brent reached Lieutenant Colonel Vargas, he got another cold response. Well, let me tell you something. All that changes today on the Savage Nation. I have put the full force of my millions of listeners behind returning this dog to this war hero and to finding out who stole this dog and where this dog is. And if you would like to help, here's what you can do. You can go to michaelsavage.com. You can read the story on the hero dog. You can find out how you can help return the dog. You can make a small donation to the Savage Legal Fund and market hero dog. Every penny will go to getting this dog back to its rightful owner. We will then try to find who stole the dog. We will then seek justice for Specialist Brent Gromit. Would you help get Maddie back? There's nothing worse than having something like this done to you, especially to one of our veterans, and I brought it up to you on the Savage Nation today on Veterans Day. Also on MichaelSavage.com, a study says that regular smokers have shrunken brains. Pot smokers don't want to believe it, but believe me, they are the amazing shrinking brain, which is why potheads have not purchased Stop the Coming Civil War, and only normal people who actually read, write, and speak have put this book 4 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list without the help of Martha Washington on Fox News, who can't say Huckabee from something other be. This is the Savage Nation. Thanks for listening, and please help the hero soldier get back his hero dog. Good night, and God bless America.
Savage.